This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Technology Products World. We're about to speak with Graham Lovell, who's the Senior Director of X64 Servers in the Network Systems Group at Sun Microsystems. Welcome to Utopia Media's Technology Products World.
Thank you, Mark. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Tell us in what ways the new Sunfire X4100 servers reflect a continuity of approach for Sun, and in what ways they represent a departure from your previous efforts in the server area.
Sure. So these are X86-based servers. They are AMD Opteron-based products. We've been shipping Opteron products for the last 18 months with a great deal of success. We've been doubling our sales and unit volume quarter on quarter for some considerable time now. These new servers slot right in there alongside the ones we've been selling. These new servers add considerably to the power and performance of the products that we have. The X4100 is a two-socket dual-core server, so it's up to four-way, and it's in a 1U rack mount package. And what's really phenomenal about this machine is that although it's only 1 3/4 inches high, it does have the ability for redundant power supplies. So there's two power supplies in there. If anything goes wrong with one of the power feeds into those, or indeed with the power supply itself, the server just continues to operate.
So overall, what's its likely uptime percentage?
So we did some calculations, and we came out with around 16 years. And you kind of go back and go, whoa, is that correct? But, yep, the calculations show that the uptime is 16 years on this.
All right. Well, that ought to be enough until you put out a new model, I guess, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay. In what way does having an X64, which is the same thing as, saying, an X86 64-bit, represent a change from Sun's efforts to push its own operating system and standards?
Yeah, so we've been selling, of course, products based on the Spark processor for some couple of decades, I guess, now. We started to sell x86-based products about 3 years ago after the acquisition of the Cobalt company. And it's really a departure from sort of specialized Cobalt machines that we started this marketplace with into general purpose rack mount servers. We started that digression, as I say, about 2 or 3 years ago, and we're continuing to build upon that with this new set of announcements.
Okay, as the senior director of the X64 server group, what was your role in creating this product?
So I can't claim any fame for creating it. That's the job of the engineering team, led by Andy Bechtelsheim. And really, a lot of the concepts for these products came as part of a startup company called Kaelia that Sun acquired about 18 months, 2 years ago.
How do you spell Kaelia?
K-A-L-E-A.
Okay. And were they essentially working on this product ahead of time, and you bought them to buy the product?
Yeah, they had a really exciting project around IPTV technologies, and as part of that, they had some basic ideas for general-purpose rack mount servers to complement the solution. And when we looked at the company and looked at what they had, it was really exciting, and the rest is history. We've worked on it, delivered it, and we're bringing it to market.
Talk a little bit about what those breakthroughs were, or what the conceptual points that are different here in this system.
So Andy Bechtelsheim, of course, used to work for Sun. He was, of course, I think employee number one. So he joined the company when Sun first started. And it's really his leadership that has developed some of the key workstation-style products and servers within the company. And he had a period where he stopped working for Sun and then came back as a result of the Kaelia acquisition. And the technology that's in these systems is very typical of Andy's style. He's made this a very compact 24 inches deep instead of the standard 32 inch deep. And he's packed a lot into these servers that other manufacturers have not been able to do so far, yet kept the heat envelope high. So what that means is that we get a lot of air flow through these machines, and we can cool these even if the servers are fitted with high wattage components.
So this is pretty much a triumph of mechanical engineering as well as electrical and computer science engineering.
That's a great summary, yes, absolutely.
Okay, why Opteron chips instead of Intel Xeons?
So Opteron runs a lot cooler, it also runs a lot faster. We've been able to innovate using the same basic logic. So unlike Xeon, when you design an Opteron-based system, the sockets are the same, the support logic are the same, the memory controller is already embedded, and it runs, as I say, a lot cooler than equivalent Xeons. So we get the highest possible performance at the lowest possible power consumption.
Can you say anything quantitative about that?
Yeah, so what we've seen is on equivalent Xeon-powered Dell machines, if you take their 6850, we are, according to spec benchmarks, 1.5 times faster at half the price, a quarter the size, and a third of the power consumption.
Sounds like a pretty compelling argument.
Absolutely, and that's primarily based around our choice of technologies in this new server.
Okay, what are people going to want to use these servers for?
Well, you know, they really started at a very attractive price. So if you look at the entry-level X2100, that starts at $745. So that's an Opteron single-processor server, one U, so 1 3/4 inches high. This is going to be superb for those customers that want to deploy, for example, high-performance technical computing solutions, web server front-ends, etc., where what they're interested in is as many servers as possible at the highest possible performance. The X4100 is really geared at a slightly different marketplace. It can be configured with 1 to 2 processors, and with single-core through multi-core is a 1 through 4-way server. But it's really the enterprise characteristics of this machine which is of interest. So I mentioned earlier the dual power supplies, it has redundant fans, it has hot swap disks in it, and it's really been engineered for things like server consolidation, where you're taking a lot of Windows-based applications and putting them onto a single server, where you're putting VMware on the server and deploying multiple applications into different operating system instances.
Tell our listeners what VMware is.
Oh, I'm sorry. VMware is a company that produces a virtualization software. It essentially is a piece of software that sits between the hardware itself, so between the Opteron processor and the operating system, and it allows you to run multiple copies of an operating system. So you could run, for example, 3 or 4 copies of Windows on the same server, and each copy would have its own virtual server. So they would look and behave exactly like 4 separate servers.
Okay, there are a few other terms of art that are involved with this machine. Maybe you could explain those as well. What are Solaris containers?
Sure, so of the different operating system choices from Red Hat, SUSE, and Windows to Solaris, Solaris 10 has a capability called Solaris containers. That's similar to VMware, only instead of needing separate executions of the operating system, this is a single operating system that allows you to run applications as if they were in their own copy. So it's a very flexible, very fast way to get the best out of the machine while putting your applications in a blast shield.
Okay, and what's Integrated Lights Out Management, or ILOM?
So, you know, the interesting thing is, rarely do people buy this class of server in ones and twos. I mean, they're 1 3/4 inches high for a reason, because you typically have anything from 30 to 40 of these in a single rack.
Right.
And you've typically got many racks. The problem when you've got all of those is that if anything goes wrong, you really need to be able to get at what's gone wrong without having to go into a data center and kind of look at all of the lights on your different servers and go, it's this one, let me plug something into it like a keyboard or something and find out what's gone wrong.
Right.
So what ILOM does is it allows you to interrogate the systems over the network. So, for example, you can, with additional software called the N1 System Manager, you can group systems together and manage those as if they're a single system. So if you've got, for example, 20 web servers on the front end and you want to deploy a new software payload, you'd be able to do that with a drag and drop onto the group, and automatically would have that new software payload installed across all of those servers.
Okay, now are these, speaking of putting them together, are these machines cluster ready, so to speak, and what is Sun Cluster technology, and how does that figure into the application of these systems?
Sure, well, you know, there's a couple of different terminologies used for clustering, and one is clustering for high availability. That's where, for example, you're operating the 911 service and you don't want the server to go down. You typically have an entire duplicate, which is your backup, and if one server fails, you get transparent and automatic failover to the second server. That's called clustering for high availability, and these servers can run Sun clustering as well as other clustering capabilities for Linux and so on.
Is that useful for a grid or high-performance computing?
No, that's not useful for that. It's really for high availability applications. The second type of clustering, which is, as you say, sometimes called a grid, that's where you are taking a particular workload, a particular job you want to get done, an analysis, for example, in financial prediction, and you want to run that algorithm across multiple systems. So you have a grid management software, and it will then run segments of the problem on each individual server. And it's typical here to have hundreds, if not thousands, of servers connected together in a grid, all cooperating to provide a portion of the answer. And then the grid software assembles that answer back and then provides the data back to the user.
Are these X4100 servers useful for that?
X41 servers are, and so are the X2100. So I mentioned the entry price for the lower-level system. Those are typically going to be used in this style of grid. So where it is a high-performance technical computing, for example, doing number crunching and flow analysis and those sort of things, those typically are done on the lowest possible price, as many as possible servers, and that's where you'll have a couple of thousand of these. There's then the next category, which is doing things like design simulation, doing chip design, where you're making sure that all of the different components that you've designed don't have a clash when you go to design them in a chip or put them on a circuit board. That sort of analysis needs a more powerful system, more memory, more processors, and that's typical of the X4100 and X4200.
Okay, what are the differences between the X4100 and X4200?
So these are two essentially very similar from the electronics perspective, except one has greater configurability. So one is twice as deep, twice as high as the other system.
I assume that's the 4200.
That's the 4200, and it can be configured with more I/O interfaces than the 4100.
What are the I/O interfaces that it has available for it?
It uses the PCIX standard. And it has two interfaces on the 4100 and five on the 4200.
Right.
And the reason you might want more is you mentioned, for example, clustering. Well, clustering takes up I/O configuration slots, both for the data connectivity as well as the high-speed connectivity between each server. With only two connections, that's typically okay for high-performance technical computing, but when you get into high-performance clustering, you'll want many more than two connections. So the 4200 is the product of choice if you're really going to go for high-availability configurations.
Okay. Say something about the relative advantages of single-core and dual-core.
Yeah, so the industry really is starting to top out in terms of continuing to turn up the speed. So this is a little bit like you experience with a car engine. If you go back to sort of 20 years ago, the revolutions per minute on a car engine were probably closer to 3,500, 4,000 revs. Over the last few years, we've got those up to six, really high-performance engines up to about 9,000 revs per minute. After that, you kind of start to break the engine because of the physics of trying to turn things so fast in an engine.
Right.
Well, that's similar with a processor. We've turned the clock speed up so high that you're really getting to the limits of physics. So the way to increase performance dramatically now is to put two cores into a single chip.
It's essentially like putting an engine in the back and an engine in the front and running two wheels off of each one.
It's exactly that. It's a little bit like this hybrid technology we've got out there where you've got an electrical engine and you've got a petrol engine.
And where do the limitations of either logic or physics come into play with multiple cores beyond two?
So So one of the beauties as you add more cores is that you can get the same performance for a lower clock speed. So one of the things that you get is you get less heat generated and you get more efficiency.
Okay.
So the really cool part of this, excludes the pun, is as you add multiple cores into this, you reduce the amount of energy consumed, the amount of heat generated, so you get much higher performance at a smaller size. And I mentioned before about the Dell machine, for example, one-third the energy. Well, that one-third the energy really comes from the multi-core aspect of the server.
Okay. So that's an important aspect of the whole design and marketability of the product.
It is. I mean, we've had knowledge of some customers that have, for example, bought a large number of systems and then had to spend large sums of money on cooling and increasing the utility power into the data center and so on. If you can get that same performance without having to add more cooling and add more utility power, that's all money saved for the customer.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about the customer. What kind of organizations are going to be buying these, do you suppose?
Well, we've of course got a lot of great relationships with customers out there, large and small. Typically, these are enterprise-class customers, so they're Wall Street customers. They're very interested in this this machine, so we've got a number of trial implementations out there. We've got a lot of EDA customers that are very interested in this, both here in the US as well as in Europe and Asia. We've got universities that typically buy high-performance technical computing, and they want that at the most attractive price. So the X2100 is of particular interest to them. We're getting a lot of interest from those sort of customers. We've got retail organizations, manufacturing organizations, I mean, quite diverse companies that deploy servers of this nature in large numbers.
What can you say about when they're going to ship?
So we'll be shipping these in volume in October.
Okay. And again, go over sort of the price levels for the different machines.
Sure. So at the entry level, we have the X2100, which starts at $745. That has a single processor Opteron server in it. That's a one-year rack mount server. Next is the 4100. That starts at $2,195. That, again, is for a single processor configuration, diskless. And then the 4200 starts at $2,695, which is just $400 more.
Okay, and well, are they all going to be manufactured in the same place, and if so, where? Or are they going to be manufactured all over?
So they're manufactured in multiple locations. We have the ability to turn on additional manufacturing centers according to demand.
Right.
So right now, of course, we're turning the dials up to get as many manufactured as possible so that we can meet the high demand we've got for these servers.
Do you have any specific projections that you can share about the sales over the next year or so?
My goodness, I'm not sure I'm allowed to tell you what I think we're going to do in terms of volume or value.
Okay.
Other than to say that you know, we are experiencing a high level of interest. If that high level of interest turns into demand for our product, which we hope it will, then we'll be selling a good deal of these. So I would expect in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands.
Okay. Say again something about the different operating systems it runs, what it comes with natively, and what systems operating systems can run on it.
Sure. So these machines, of course, are industry standard servers, so they run virtually any of the x86 operating systems. So at the fundamental level, we deliver this machine with Solaris 10 pre-installed. That comes as a free option on the server. Also, as a choice to run on these servers, you can choose to purchase the Red Hat Linux operating system, a number of different flavors from Red Hat, both versions as well as different types, targeted at different types of application use. We have the SUSE Linux operating system that can also be configured on these servers, and also Windows. From a Windows perspective, we've been certifying our products for some time, but with this announcement, we're also going to be supporting Windows. So a customer can come to us and buy a server, mount Windows on there, and then ask Sun to take full responsibility for the operating system and its and the hardware from Windows. And then I mentioned before that we have VMware. VMware is that virtualization layer, which provides a lot of flexibility and advantage.
Does the VMware and its ability to run multiple systems mean that you can run programs under Linux, Windows, and Solaris all on the same machine?
Absolutely, all simultaneously. So you could have one copy of VMware and be running Solaris 10. You could run a copy of Red Hat on there and a copy of Windows, all on the same server.
Okay. Why is it called the X40, 4100 and 4200 rather than anything else?
So we had a previous product range which started with V. We decided that as these servers were really based around the industry standard, which all begins with X, then we wanted to put X in front of the product name. So you think of X64 and X86 and so on. So we put an X in front of the numbers. Y41 and Y21? Well, we wanted to signal that these are these sit into our product range at a similar level to numbers that we've used in the past at this level. And the 41 indicates the 1U rack mount server, and the 42 the 2U rack mount server.
So it's pretty much the intersection of the level of your previous products along with the X for the X64.
Correct.
How can people get more information about the capabilities of these systems and contact people to purchase them?
So we've got a lot of information out on the web. So if you go to sun.com /servers, you'll see a whole range of different servers from Sun, including these new products that I've talked about. You'll see on there some of the very special offers we've got. So if you've got competing platforms, perhaps even something from the Itanium range, then we're offering up to 20% discount off of these servers if you trade in one of the old servers.
And where does this fit in the migration from 32 to 64-bit to processing?
So these machines are able to run 32 or 64-bit operating systems, and when running the 64-bit version of the operating system, you can run 32 or 64-bit applications simultaneously.
Okay, so it works for a transition there.
It's great if you've got applications you want to transition. It's great also if you've just got a mix and you want to run both 32 and 64 side by side.
Okay. How important to the success of Sun as a company is the success of this product?
This is an area that's growing very rapidly for Sun. It's still a reasonably small area of our business, but at the rate we're growing, then this could be material to the company in the future, yes.
Okay. Why don't you wrap up with a final explanation of why this is a server that a lot of people could make good use of?
So this is a very flexible server. It has the ability to run multiple operating systems at the same time with VMware. You get to choose a single architecture product and deploy on any OS for virtually any use you like. It is binary compatible with the other X64 servers, so you can move applications around between servers as you grow. This is part of an expanded product range, which will go all the way up to 16-way servers. So there's headroom available coming in the future, and they start at a very attractive price of $745.
And so essentially efficiency and versatility are its main advantages.
Efficiency and versatility and also performance. These are really high performance and they beat all comers.
All right. I want to thank you for talking to us about the X4100 series of X64 servers from Sun. And maybe we can check in again in a few months and talk a little bit more about what locations and applications these systems have been working in at that time.
Absolutely. We'd love to talk to you again, and thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for listening.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye. Bye.